Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. You can read our blog online at kosherscene.wordpress.com. Our guest this evening is someone who has had an incredible career, a fascinating life history. His name is David Mintz. He is the founder and CEO of Tofutti Brands Incorporated, where he has been the CEO since 1981. Good evening, David.
Good evening. Good evening.
So tell me, how did the Boychik from Williamsburg come up with the idea? What was the evolution of the guy who came out of Williamsburg until you became David Mintz? CEO.
Thank you for asking. You know, I have to mention this. When you mentioned Williamsburg, and Baruch Hashem, I was interviewed many, many times, and the first thing that people asked me, so tell me, where were you born? I say, I was born in Williamsburg. He says, oh, I love Virginia.
Yeah. I'm a New Yorker, so I know what Williamsburg is.
Well, you know what, because when you're out of town, when you say Williamsburg, the first thought that comes to the people's minds is that, Williamsburg, Virginia.
I was
raised and brought up a very Orthodox family in Williamsburg. I went to the yeshiva, and then at that time, it was very interesting. It wasn't like today. You had to go. I lived like four blocks from the yeshiva, so if you couldn't walk alone at that time, you were in Williamsburg. If you had to go with a few other boys, otherwise you get beat up. They would take off your yarmulke and so on. That was, you know,
in Williamsburg. That's hard to believe. Wow.
Well, that goes back, many years ago, and that's what it was. There was a mixed elements there. So this is what it was. Yes, they used to have gangs. If they saw one boy with a yarmulke walking in the street, they would have like six, seven kids would go, and then they'd jump him and they'd take away his money or his watch or whatever, and his lunch, whatever, and they'd beat him up, and that's it. That was the, so you always had to go in human groups. That was many years ago, but Hashem, thank God, it's not like that today. But growing up there, we came from Rivers' family, and I was always wanted to be in business. My father, may he rest in peace, was a baker, and he worked very hard. And then I saw him working day and night. I mean, he worked, of course, at night, 18 hours a day, and you were happy that you had a job in those years. So I saw that he was a very hard life, and I said, Hashem shall help me. With God's help, I should be able to become a businessman. And then, of course, I work hard, but at least I'll be working for myself. So that's what encouraged me to... And of course, I went to yeshiva, and then what I did was, you know, I was maybe 11, 12 years old. I was tall for my age, and I took jobs. I used to work, and after coming home from yeshiva, I had a quick dinner, and I ran to a place where they were making pretzels and soup nuts, and they put them in bags. So I got a job, and I got 20 cents an hour, and I was doing real well. I worked 3-4 hours, so I made myself, say, 80 cents, 90 cents, oh, at that time was...
And then what year was that?
What year was that?
What year was that?
That would probably be, let's see, that would be around 45, 50 years ago.
Wow.
50 years ago, yeah. And they made me a manager, and then I got a quarter an hour. So I used to make a dollar in the evening, and I worked 4 or 5 Sundays, and somebody's on Moshe Shabbos Sunday night, so I made the dollar and a half to pay $2 a week. Oh, it was, so I brought home the money to my mother, and I gave it to her, and may she rest in peace. And I took maybe a quarter for myself, and I was a big sport, and I bought a lot of candy and stuff, you know, to Nashi. But, and as I grew up, I was always looking to make little business ventures. And little by little, I had this entrepreneurial bug to start always to try to do something. And Baruch Hashem, God helped me with a lot of help, a lot of people, and they gave me a lot of reinforcement, and the Rebbe helped me a lot. The Baruch Rebbe was instrumental, and he gave me a roadmap. So I'm going from the beginning until presently until the Rebbe made Neshama Bohai in Gan Eden. He's the one that gave me the strength and the chizuk and energy to go, not to give up. And the Rebbe told me always if you have to have belief and faith. If you have belief and faith, you can do anything you want to. So with the Rebbe's help, and Hashem helped me, and Baruch Hashem, I started something that Baruch Hashem is sold all over the world. We are in 30 foreign countries to this day, and we keep on opening up new markets all the time, Baruch Hashem.
So, how did you get started with the tofu? You had a delicatessen, you had a number of restaurants. Why tofu?
Going to the yeshiva, that as I mentioned, I was always looking for something to do. And at that time, I was going to yeshiva, and then I got odd jobs here and there. But then my whole family was in the fur business, and they used to make mink. So I finally convinced my uncle to give me a job. I was going to college. At that time, I finished with the yeshiva and everything else. I was going to Brooklyn College, and I live in Brooklyn. And he gave me a job, and I finally convinced him because it was very difficult to get a job at that time. And then I learned how to become a furrier. And then little by little, after working a number of years for my uncle, I rented a little place, and I did my own fur manufacturing. And I made the mink stoles and the mink coats. At that time, it was very popular. And that's how I started. But then the thing what happened was, it was feast or famine. It was either very busy or that for 4 or 5 months you haven't got what to do. So I decided that I went that time to the Rebbe and asked him, says, if you give me a blessing for Parnassah, he said, the Rebbe suggested you find a Parnassah that it's all year long. So at that time, I went once for Parnassah. I was taking my family that time up to the mountains. And there's a little place there that I saw. It was very reasonable. I bought it. That time there was no work at the forest. The business was very slow. And that's how. And at the same time, I bought a new bungalow colony that was run down. I got it at a very good price. And then in town, in Mountaindale, New York, in the Catskills, they have a general store, a grocery store for sale. And he said, look, you bought this place. It's right next to town. It's in town. We'll give it to you just for the stock in it. So at that time, I didn't have what to do, so I bought it. And that's what got me into the... but then I saw it. I'm working day and night, and that business is you make pennies there. It's very difficult. And then a lot of the people that came there from the city, they used to bring their own stuff because they knew it would be expensive. Anyway, then I decided to make some cooked food. I figured cooked food, they people are on vacation there in their bungalows, I couldn't make enough food. They whatever I made was sold immediately. And, of course, the margins were higher. So that's what got me into the food business. And then when I saw that this is a business to be in, and this is what the Rebbe told me, find a parnassa and make a living with something that you don't have seasons. People have to eat every day. If you eat breakfast, lunch, dinner, the next day, Baruch Hashem, you eat again. So that was a steady partner, and that's when I opened up. I bought a little take-home food store, and then I learned. I made mistakes. I learned from my mistakes. And then I saw you work hard, but you make a nice living. And then another opportunity came. I bought another place, and so then I sold the first place, and then I bought a place on Church Avenue in Brooklyn, which was next to the subway. So I said, how can I get those people in? So then I bought it, and I painted it. I made it look very nice because the previous people, they want to get out. So I made it look very pretty, everything else. And then an idea came to mind. In the kitchen, I was baking and cooking. So I had the air conditioner people connect a pipe in the ceiling and an exhaust fan in the kitchen. So I would fry onions and garlic, and then I would have the fan blowing out into the street. Now, picture this. There's a subway station with people coming from work. Everybody's hungry. They can't wait to get home to eat dinner, and they smell garlic and fried onions. It's, oh, my God.
Oh.
And they were going, they came into the place, they couldn't, I couldn't take care of them because I hired people. And they were standing in line and said, I'm next. And they were buying the food at Baruch Hashem, was very good. So then I was mobbed, and then Baruch Hashem, this is what they knew already. It got to a point where the police used to come and there was a gridlock because the people were crossing the street and there's traffic. They had to, and then the policeman himself used to come in and say, listen, I'm taking care of all this traffic here. He says, what are you? Of course, I took good care of him. I gave him the canisius and the chicken and that. Hey, I was a machaya. They loved it. Now, how do I get the business to, in the morning, was quiet? So I said, why don't I use the same idea? So I had cinnamon and sugar in the kitchen, and I blew that out in the street. And then I got the people walking by. They couldn't pick. Some people said, you know, don't pass Mintz's barbecue place because you have to go into the store when you smell it. They used to walk across the street, so they shouldn't smell it, but the smell was all over. Even the bus that was driving on the route there, he pulled over the side and said, excuse me, I got to go get some of those Danishes that are cooking over there. It's driving me crazy. And Baruch Hashem, that was the way I started. But then they came and says, you know, you're Mr. Mintz, you're not allowed to do this, you know, so they made me stop. But once they got to the used to it, and they tasted it, so they loved it and they enjoyed it. This is what gave me the excitement. It's more than just making a living or making a nice panasa. It's the developing a way that this is the rewards of being a success in business. It's the success. You have an idea and you see it come to fruition. It develops. This is what makes it very exciting. That's why there aren't enough hours in the day. If you enjoy your work, if you enjoy your work, it's not work. It's like you can't wait to do it because you enjoy it. And there's a blessing. You're healthy. You feel good. So that's my recommendation or suggestion is, well, whatever a person does, they should try to find something they do that they love. Because there's something, if you do something that you don't enjoy, that's not too good. This way you'll find that it's not work. It's a pleasure.
Very good. So tell me, reading on your site that you got a lot of the little grandmothers from the neighborhood to come and cook for you. How did you manage that?
Yeah, you know, I did something and nothing came to mind. But what do I know? I was a foreigner. I went to college, Brooklyn College. And what did that do for me for business? So I had to, of course, I put ads in the paper and I hired cooks. And I used to hire women because women have the heinous homemade. You can get the best chef. If not, doesn't compare to the bummer and boobies and grandmas that they have a yiddish tam. And this is, so I hired those people. And then, of course, you know, they made nice, delicious dishes. But I wanted to learn more. And then, so I put an ad in the paper, grandmas wanted, boobies wanted, and to help work part-time in the kitchen, come with your recipes and we were interested in hiring a lot of grandmas, boobies. I couldn't believe it. The bus stops, and I get like 10 boobies come out. They've come. They said, we're applying for the position. I said, I can't hire 10 people, but wait a minute. An idea came to mind. Why? I was interviewing the first boobie. She says, well, what is your specialty? What is the item that you make? I mean, you're a very good cook, but what is something that you make that's excellent? So she said, oh, my, they love my stuffed cabbage. Everybody loves my stuffed cabbage. So I said, Bumala, you're hired. You're the stuffed cabbage lady. Now the next one. And whatever time you want to work, whatever is convenient for you. And you know, this is the interesting thing that I have to tell you, that out of the 10 boobies that I hired, all of them, there was four or five of them that said, you know, Mr. Mintz, I don't need the money. But don't tell my family when they come to pick me up that they're telling me that you're paying me. But I'm doing it because I'm bored staying home. I must have something to do. And I want to thank you for letting me do it here, because then I look forward to coming every day. She used to work 3 hours. Another bummy, what do you make? What's your specialty? She says, I make oysnam delicious regular. Okay, you're the regular bummy. And that's for each one. One made like latkes. She says, I make latkes that you get. But she's the latke lady. And then, for the honor of Baruch Hashem, this was the secret, that people come in and they say they never taste this delicious food, because I had experts. They weren't chefs. They were homemade, with a Yiddish atom, with bubblers that really knew how to make some taste delicious with a Yiddish atom. And that's why I built the business that way. And I took care of them, whatever they needed, whatever they wanted. I even sent cars to pick them up, to bring them, because they said, look, my son is busy. That's fine. And whenever you come, I'll send a car to pick you up. They were worth the weight in gold. And they taught me so much about cooking. To this day, I have to thank them. God bless them all. And if they're still around, they're in Gan Eden. They're cooking in Gan Eden now. That's a wonderful thing. So that's the way I learned the food business. And to this day, that's when I had already the catering business. I had the restaurants, and then I opened restaurants in New York. First it was in Brooklyn. Then I had it in Brighton Beach. I had one. But then I said, okay, I'm ready for Broadway. I want to take my show to Broadway. And that's when I opened up in Manhattan. I opened up a little place on 3rd Avenue next to Bloomingdale, a restaurant. I took the first black kosher in Manhattan. It was the first black kosher restaurant. And it was a takeout and then a restaurant. So I realized I was making more business with the takeout than the restaurant, because the restaurant, the place wasn't big enough. So I had next door to me, it was an Irish businessman. He had a bar. And let's see if I remember. He looked like Pat O'Brien, the actor, many years ago. People may remember Pat O'Brien. He was right back. Every time he had a restaurant, then he had a bar, the next door neighbor. So every night he used to come in and buy one of my kosher chickens. So the people used to answer me. He says, why? You have a restaurant. You have chefs. So with the Irish brogue, he said, they cannot make the way the kosher chicken tastes. They cannot make it taste like that, the way I got my neighbor next door. Every night he would get a hot chicken off the press. And Baruch Hashem. And then I opened up another restaurant on Madison Avenue. And then in 83rd, between 83rd and 84th. But this one next to Bloomingdale, that was, and I even had a section there in the Madison Avenue restaurant. It was called Minter's Buffet. I had a section up there, had a balcony upstairs, and I had an idea came to mind. I was doing well. I wanted to get some publicity to make it. So first, the idea came to me, eat whatever, as much as you want, open house buffet. It was like $15. And those years, $15. Well, I think it was maybe $10, or I don't remember. And so eat whatever you want, as much as you want. And what I did was I prepared enough stuff and then when they came in, they were standing in line. So then they're standing in line here training. So I went ahead and I bought cases of umbrellas. And then the people standing in the rain, in line waiting to come in, that's how crowded it was. And so I told the girl to go out and give everybody an umbrella and give them a couple of chopped liver hors d'oeuvres on a cracker so they won't feel bad waiting in line and rain to come in. That's how busy. These are little things that you do that people appreciate. I didn't have a liquor license, so I gave free wine. So the waitresses would come to me and say, listen, there's a table there. They would want to know if I can, they have another glass of free wine. I said, of course, they should be happy. And whatever they want, give them whatever they want. So, then, this is the way we build Baruch Hashem, the business. And little by little. So now I have this business And then it's the catering was doing well, and then people came that were not kosher, and they wanted I should cater their bar mitzvah. Like, well, sure, of course it's kosher. Everything is not kosher. Then they say, my daughter for the bar mitzvah wants ice cream. So ice cream, it says, I can't do that. I can give you ices, but not ice cream. It's dairy. I can't mix dairy with meat. With not kosher. Can't do that. He says, don't worry. He says, I'll buy the ice cream and I will serve it. Says, no, you can't have dairy with my food. It's not a mitzvah. We can't do that. So Mr. Mann says, in that case, my daughter insists she wants ice cream. She wants an ice cream cake. But I'm sorry. So I lost business. So I said to myself, what can I do to overcome this problem? Because a lot of people wanted the... So I said, you know what? Maybe I can make a Parma ice cream. But the Parma ice cream was... It was non-existent, and even the ISIS tasted bad. So, and then I read in the magazine an article about tofu. Tofu takes on the characters of whatever you want it to be. It's healthy, right. And it takes on, you can make cheese, you can make beer. Things taste like dairy. So I went to Chinatown, I bought tofu, and here, and I'm at the restaurant. So I used to close the restaurant like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. So I used to experiment at night in the kitchen. I take a look, it's 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I better go home and go to sleep. I have to go to the place that's open anyway. So I used to ask the waitresses, well, who wants to make extra money and help me? So this way I have someone to help me when I'm experimenting with the tofu. So, of course, the girls want to make extra money. So then I have, and then I said, okay, it's 9:30, it's a 9:45. Young ladies, it's tofu time. And then every night we would experiment. Finally, I got, with God's help, I developed something that tasted pretty good. So then how do I get people? So I put the beautiful tables outside in front of, this is 3rd Avenue, and there's so many beautiful models going by, and people go by, it's like 42nd Street, Broadway. So I gave free samples, the little cones, the little cups, and they said, this is dairy-free. It's low calorie, which it was. And the people, they love it, they want to buy it. So that's how I got into it. And I started giving away a lot of free stuff. So then a reporter, Sylvia Porter, which is many years ago, she was a writer for the New York Post, very famous writer, and she came in, I didn't know who she was, and she was tasting the foods I was making with the Parma ice cream. And then she wrote an article that I went to visit Mensa's Buffet on 3rd Avenue, and I was amazed. They said, this man is unbelievable. He is a whiz. He's like a tofu guru. He makes things taste delicious in tofu. He says, I don't like tofu, but the way he made it taste. Once she wrote that article, all of a sudden, all the papers picked it up, and then I get calls from Hollywood, the actors that come to visit New York, they want to know if I can put away some product that heard about it. So show people used to come in. And then I get a call from, ready for this, I get a call from Zabar's on Broadway, the very famous Zabar's.
Right, right.
Broadway. And then he says, Mince, I want to carry your product. I want to be, but you can't sell to anyone else, only me. At that time, Moshe Rabbeinu came out with it. Anyway, so I made it for Zabar's, and he put up a big sign. We're the only one in New York that has the non-dairy ice cream. And then I didn't have a name for it. So he says, what do you call it? You can't call it. So one night I thought about it. It's made from tofu, but tofu doesn't sound, you know, right, it's a lot of people don't like tofu. So then I had to make it sound like a happy, good, fun thing, so I called it Tofuni. I came up with a name, and then I trademarked it, and my lawyer said you should do it all over the world. So Baruch Hashem, the name Tofuni is trademarked all over the world. And even Japan gave me a hard time. That's a long story. They said that they developed it. They said, if that's the case, make it. They couldn't make it anyway. They apologized, and they also bought for food in Japan. Today, Baruch Hashem, with God's help, we sell our product almost all over the world. We're in 30 foreign countries. We just got in now. We're also selling our food in China, Brazil, these are new countries that are carrying upon it. And with God's help, Baruch Hashem, the Rebbe was the one that gave me the strength to continue. So with God's help and the Rebbe's brothers, so we have a product that everybody loves, and we keep on, the Rebbe told me, keep on developing new products and keep on improving what you make so it should be. And then, of course, the Rebbe also told me, he says, the more you help and give charity, the more God will bless you. And I'm following what the Rebbe said, and Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
Fine. So what new products do you have out now, and what new products are you thinking of?
Well, we have already now, besides the ice cream, we make cream cheese, sour cream, we make sliced cheese. Anything that our model is, anything that's dairy, we can make it part of. With tofutti. We can make it dairy-free. Whatever's dairy.
But with ice cream, you had a problem. With ice cream, you had a problem.
I had a problem, but of course we have, we don't develop it overnight. I have a very big lab, R&D lab in my company, and we work here. We got a lot of people. That's one of my biggest expenses, is we have people that keep on working with me and developing and improving the products. I have a product that, with God's help, it took 10 years to develop, 10 years, when I just hired him, to work on one product. And that's, with God's help, we just developed it. It's called the ricotta, the dairy-free ricotta cheese. This is a Italian cheese where you make ravioli, you can make ricotta, you make all kinds of, and you know what? People can't believe it. I had dairy people tell me, he said, how do you make something that tastes like a very good ricotta and it's farmed, it's dairy-free? So that's the latest item, and we make pizza with ricotta. And Baruch Hashem, we're coming out with a lot of new items. A whole line of pizza, a whole line of ravioli, some pastas. And you know, today I get blessings because there are 80 million people in the United States that cannot digest dairy. So with Hashem's help, this is just the beginning. We're just scratching the surface. Hi.
Very good. So basically, as I hear from you and as I've read your biography, basically you are a very nice guy who extends that niceness into business instead of being a cutthroat businessman. That's
absolutely
why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has blessed you. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made you successful.
Baruch Hashem, because it's nice to be nice. I mean, it's the same method. Why not be nice?
And as you said, work is fun because it's not work. It's something you're looking forward to do.
Exactly. I can't wait in the morning, Baruch Hashem. You like to work, we go to bed late. Can't wait to get in the morning because every day is exciting, it's fun, it's challenging. And the most beautiful reward is when you have a difficulty and you overcome it and you're successful. It's more than the money. It's the feeling that you all became an obstacle. And that's very rewarding, very important. That's fun.
Well, I can hear the enthusiasm in your voice. I can hear the passion for your work at an age when most people would have long, long retired and given up work altogether.
Oh, no, the Rebbe told me, he says, never retire. The Sinat Mitzvah Shikur, he says, to 120, you're going to be busy. Because when you're busy, you'll always be well and you'll be happy. The Chas V'Shalom, when you retire, Chas V'Shalom, you expire. No retiring. You got to be busy because you're busy. The machinery keeps on working. You got to be busy. And enjoy what you do. The most important thing is the simcha. You have to enjoy what you do.
Okay, with 60 seconds to go before our time is up, want to tell us a little bit about some advice for young aspiring entrepreneurs with unusual ideas?
Yes, there's gold in the streets. Now, how do you get the gold? You have to dig for it. And they asked me to go to NYU to talk at the entrepreneurial class. And some of the boys there says, tell me, ask me questions, see what you're interested in, I'll talk. And they said, how do you make millions of dollars not working? He said, this is a make-believe. This is Alice in Wonderland. So in the real world, you can't do that. You have to work hard. And after you finish working hard, you have to still work hard. and then you'll be successful. You have to have the tohon, faith. You have faith and you work hard, Hashem will help you.
That's right. We have to do our shtadlus. He does the rest.
Yes. Understand. And also tzedakah. Tzedakah is the key. Because that's the only thing that you can test Hashem with, is with tzedakah. If you help, we give tzedakah, Hashem will bless you 100 times. The tzedakah is very important.
Right. And we're out of time. I want to thank you very, very much for appearing on our show. It was entertaining. It was fun. It was informative. We'd love to have
you
on again.
With pleasure. Thank you so much.
And thank you. And good night to one and all, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back next week. We will be broadcasting live with one of the Kosher Wine Society's events next Wednesday evening from Zanger Hall in Manhattan at 347 West 34th. Thank you, one and all. Good night.
Good night.